God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word that we are about to open. I pray that as we open the pages of Scripture, you would open our hearts to hear what you have for us today. Make us look more like your Son, Jesus Christ, than when we came in this morning. Guide us with your Spirit in our understanding of how to live a faith-filled life. God, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We are starting a new sermon series. Bet you can't guess what it's called.
Altered.
Altered. So as we begin this season of Lent, which is the progression to the cross and then eventually the empty tomb, the season of Lent is often a time that we give something up. And so I often think that people approach this as a gloom and doom season, and it is meant to be reflective. We're supposed to think about how far we are from God and what we can do to get back into his good grace, which is nothing but believe, right? How easy could it be? But I also like to think about what we add. You see, we think about what we just take away. It's like, well, man, you know, I have to give up this thing. Yeah, all the time. You have to give up something to get something better. If you're on first base, you got to give it up to get to second base, right? If you're at a stage of life and you want to mature, you have to give up the former ways, the childish things, to become more like Christ. You give up this to get something better. So it's not just giving up. It's getting something in return. And what this series is with Altered is going to be a look at a series of altars that we experience throughout the Old Testament and the different meanings that those altars bring as people in these pages have offered sacrifices. So here we go. The first one is about making space. You can see where we're headed, and eventually we will go to Easter on April 20th. And I know, because I know you, that you're already praying in advance for those people that you're going to invite to Easter service on April 20th, because it's going to be epic. I say this every year, but it's not epic because of what we do. It's epic because of what happened. Have you heard? He's not here. He's not in the grave. That's a message that never gets old. So pray right now. Invite that person on April 20th, and let's celebrate like it deserves to be celebrated. That's all I'm going to say about that. Now, I want to talk a little bit today. We're going to talk about making space. Making space is something that we have to do in our modern environment. I find that we're just crazy busy, like so busy that we don't even know what day it is sometimes, or so busy that we forget to change the clocks, right? I'm still waiting for that person to walk in. So what I need to do is make space. It's really about priorities. Now, I don't know about you, but every time like a storm is coming and you go to the grocery store and there's no bread and milk, I'm like, okay, what's the priority there? Like, the solution to every storm is to make French toast? Is that what's going on here? Or here's my favorite, actually. You know this from COVID. Yeah. Like, okay, COVID is about to hit. Let's go get toilet paper. What do they think is going to happen? I mean, honestly, you know, what would have been really sad is if this had become our bartering mechanism. Dude, I've got no food. What do you got to trade? I'll give you a steak for a roll of toilet paper. Yeah. What are we thinking is going to happen? I'm so glad I'm not in charge of marketing, because I would have been the guy that put the sign up, wipe out COVID sale. But that's just me, all right? So, okay, we're moving on. So our priorities sometimes get misplaced, and I know that you know this, because when you look at your time, if you were to take the time that you use during the day and put it into a pie chart, you would find some amazing things. Now, I'm not talking about what you would like to do with your time. I'm talking about what you actually do with your time, and I'm challenging you right now. Make a pie chart for the next week. Lay out all the hours of your day and what you did during those hours of the day. Plug it into a formula at the end of the week and watch where you spent your time. Why do I say this? Because that will tell you what your priority is. We may have grand intentions. We may have all these good plans and ideas, and this is my priority. My priority is God, number one. But man, look at our lives. Do they line up? Because if they don't, I think that's a big sense, a big point where we have discomfort, where we have unrest, where we don't feel like we're living fully and abundantly. It's when those two things don't align. And I would offer a suggestion that the tiniest piece of that pie chart is going to be your time with God. How do I know this? Because I think it's true in my life, if I'm honest. I have grand intentions, but when it comes to reality, I have like an hour on Sunday, like you guys. I get a little more because I get here early. But honestly, I wish I had more time with God. Do you feel the same way? Do you feel like something's missing? How do we take that little sliver and make it bigger and still live the life that we're required to live to take care of family, to work, to go to school, to do all the other things that we have to do? See, that's the challenge of the modern church, I'm convinced. And I'm not trying to convince you to turn this into a monastery where we just come here every day and we pray for 8 hours a day and chant and meditate, because we have to live life. We're called to be out into the world. That's one of the ways that we influence people for Christ. So how do we solve this? And more importantly, if we don't solve it, this could be us. I have three P's for you this morning, and we're going to take these three P's and we're going to transform them by the power of Christ. I'm going to offer you three different P's later. But the P's that we feel when we don't have God as our priority, when we don't make space for God, maybe you've been there, feel a little pressured. Anybody ever had a panic attack? Yeah? Or maybe you just feel powerless. Like, there's nothing I can do. This just overwhelms me. Not like we just sang overwhelms me, but like overwhelms me, like I don't even know what to do next. And that's our problem. See, we want to do so many things, and we call it all our priority. Okay, I have many priorities, plural. In my mind, that's an oxymoron. You can't have priorities. That means there's more than one thing that's number one. There's only one thing that's number one. That's your priority, not priorities. So one thing has to reign supreme. All the others take second to that. Bet you can't guess where I'm going with this either. All right, so we're going to talk about Noah, because you've probably heard this story as a kid. Maybe you've never really thought about that. But the setting today, we're going to talk about when Noah has gone through all that he's gone through. He's finally gotten to the other side of this story where he comes upon dry land. He opens the gates. Can you imagine being with animals for 40 days and 40 nights? And man, boy, that must have been a breath of fresh air. And to finally find something that you can put your foot on, the solid ground. And so he comes off of this, and imagine this world. See, this is where it's real easy for us to go, well, there was a rainbow, God was promised, rainbows, unicorns, everybody was happy. Now think about this. I want you to put yourself in a reality TV survival show right now. You've been transported out into a boat and left in the middle of nowhere with just a bunch of animals. The world has been flooded, so what are you going to eat? What's growing on the ground? Probably nothing. Everything's been killed by the water. So how do you eat? How do you take care of your family? Have you thought about that? Let's look at what Noah does when he gets off the ark, because the first thing I would have been thinking is, okay, I got a meal plan. I got to build some shelter. Got to get some fire going. That's where I would have been. It's not where Noah was. Let's look at what Noah has to say as we read Genesis 8, 15 through 20. And what I want you to reflect on as we go through this sermon is, what does my life reveal as my first priority? Notice the wording, not what I wish my life revealed, but what does my life, the way I live it right now, reveal as my first priority? Let's see what Noah has to say. God said to Noah, "Come out of the ark, you and your wife and your sons and their wives. Bring out every kind of living creature that is with you, the birds, the animals, and all the creatures that move along the ground, so they can multiply on the earth and be fruitful and increase in number on it." So Noah came out, together with his sons and his wife and his sons' wives, all the animals and all the creatures that move along the ground and all the birds, everything that moves on land, came out of the ark, one kind after another. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord, and taking some of all the clean animals and clean birds, he sacrificed burnt offerings on it. These are the words of God for the people of God. And for these words, we are grateful. Amen. Did you catch what Noah did the very first thing? He made an altar. And it gets better. He took some of the animals that he had and he made a burnt offering on that altar. Is Noah has he been at sea a little too long, do you think? Now think about what he's doing here. A burnt offering is not like a barbecue, right? You don't go, okay, that's done, it's time to eat. No, a burnt offering completely consumes whatever it is that you put on the altar. He's taking his food source and completely giving it to God. And it's not like he can go down to HEB, right? It's not like he can just hit the microwave. It's not like he can go into the freezer in the ark and pull out a frozen dinner. That's all he's got. But the first thing he does is he gives that up to God. And you have to think that Noah is either a complete fool or completely trusts that God will provide. I'm going with the second one. I think Noah is completely convinced that God will provide, because so far in Noah's life, God has done everything he said he would do. Why would he stop now? And folks, if we're honest, as we read the scripture, as we reflect on our lives, as we look back through our lives at God's hand in our life, has God ever not done what he said he would do? And we may not like it, we may not enjoy it, but God always does what he says he will do. And I will offer you the same question: why would he stop now? He doesn't. So as we reflect on this, and as we go through this, there's a lot of temptations to say, well, you know, Noah had it different. It was easier back then. I don't think so. Noah doesn't understand the pressures I'm under. Really? Noah was mocked, scorned. He built an ark with his bare hands. I think he gets it. But here's what Noah didn't do. He didn't wait. He didn't wait until he was less busy. He didn't wait until he had more money, or in his case, more toilet paper, I don't know. He didn't wait until life settled down. He did what needed to be done as God told him to do it. A lot of times we wait. And I know the scripture says wait on the Lord. That's not what they're talking about. We wait until conditions are perfect. You know, my job's just a little too busy. I don't have time to worship. You know, my life's just too crazy right now. I can't really commit to following God. You know, I would do more, but I just don't have the time or the money or fill in your own blank. Excuse me. But Noah didn't wait, because there was a timeline to Noah, and I would offer there's a timeline for us. For some of us, it might be more drastic than others, but there is a timeline. There's an opportunity for us to affect people today, and there are no guarantees. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. What are we waiting for? Don't wait. Here's a good quote to think and reflect. Whatever you do first reveals what you trust most. How many times have you been in a crisis and the first thing you go is, okay, do I have the money to take care of this? Well, your first go-to is your money. Guess what you trust the most? Money. Or something else happens and you go, oh, wow, what am I going to do about this? What does that tell you about what you trust most? I trust me most. I don't trust God most. How many times have you been into a crisis and you said, okay, God, what have you got for me here? That's trusting God most. Now, I understand. I get it. Sometimes there's emergencies. Thank you, brother. Appreciate you. He was going to tell me to stop smoking or take a drink, one of the two. And if you're hearing this on video, I'm drinking water. Should clarify. But whatever you do first, that's what you trust the most. So why not make the default God? Now, I understand there are emergencies. There are times when you cannot do this. But there's always the reflection of, is God with me? Can I feel his presence? You don't get that on the fly. You get that with time spent with God. You get that when it permeates and becomes a lifestyle, not just on a quick prayer and hope, well, I hope this works. So, what do we do with this? We seek one thing. We stop the priorities and we make one priority, singular. Here it is. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. All these other things will be added to you. That's the proper priority. The proper priority is his kingdom, his righteousness, right standing with the king. Once we have that, everything else will fall into place. And that is an act of trust. It doesn't look like that's going to work. There's a lot of things coming at you. I get it. There's a lot of overwhelm. There's that sense of panic, that pressure, all of those things. I get it. But there's also a God who's bigger than that. There's a God who promises that if you will seek him first, all this other stuff will get taken care of. And that is an act of trust. Maybe that's our sacrifice in this Lenten season. Can I trust God to do what he says he will do? We can. I'm convinced. So here's what I think happens. in that pie chart of time, we're missing two important pieces. The pie chart of time is the middle piece. That's where we have the little bitty sliver that's called God. So what I'm proposing today is that we add two layers. They are supernatural layers above nature. We only experience the one in the middle because we're finite beings. We live in a time and a place. That's all that we can experience. But God has so much more. He's outside of time. So the one pie chart that we put above everything is God. We seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And as we do that, that begins to filter what gets through to our daily lives. The secondary one that we put in place is the foundation. We don't put our feet on things that God wouldn't put our feet on. We don't walk off of the path. That's obedience. And it's obedience not because God is out to get us. It's obedience because God has laid a path before us. He directs our steps. But we have to be willing to follow where he leads. And once we step off of that solid foundation, it's anybody's bet how long it takes us to get back on. And some people don't make it back on. That's not on God. That's on us. So as we look at our pie chart of time, I'm going to encourage you to make a sandwich out of this. Watch this high-tech demo. Oh, yes. To all beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun with a dose of faith, right? So here's what I intend to do. I intend to package that all together. The faith that lives above me is the filter. It filters things through. The Holy Spirit guides us. It speaks to us. It moves us. The foundation that he gives me is here. It is in prayer. It is in community. As we come together, we form this solid base, and he lifts our feet upon a rock that which we don't have to depart, but we do because we're sinful human beings. Help us, God, to stay on the rock. Help us to be filtered so that the stuff that comes through to us is of God. That's my prayer. This is a prayer, it's a longer prayer that St. Patrick prays, and I thought it was appropriate because St. Patty's Day is coming up. This is one of my favorite prayers, and I won't read you the whole thing, but I encourage you to, it's sometimes referred to as St. Patrick's breastplate. I encourage you to read the whole thing because it's absolutely fascinating. It makes a great morning prayer. It makes a great evening prayer. But here's the part that applies today. St. Patrick says, Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ in me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ on my right, Christ on my left. What enemy is going to get in that? What evil could penetrate that? What harm could come to the one who prays and lives that? The weapon may be formed, but it will not prosper. Have confidence in this. So when we do follow the right priority, when we do seek God's kingdom first and make that space for him, see that, let me go back for just a second because I think there's an important point to mix here. When you talk about life priorities and the work-life balance or whatever you're trying to balance, I often get this picture of a scale. Like I have to put my faith on one side and family and all the other stuff on the other side. There's just this constant act of going back and forth, and I can never quite settle. I'm unsettled. And here's the problem I think that we have. We think as faith is one of those things that we're trying to balance. Faith is the fulcrum on which we balance, not something that we put in a pan and try to balance. So when faith becomes a fulcrum and it grounds us, it permeates everything that we do. There's God and there's work. Well, there's God in my work. There's God and then there's my relationship with my family. Well, there's God in your relationship with family. Well, there's God and then there's all these extracurricular things I've got to do. Well, there's God in your extracurricular activities. Why do we have to separate? It doesn't have to be either or. It can be both and. And when we get to that point, we are transformed. And we begin to transform those around us. So having said that, here's the benefits when we put that right priority. I'm going to replace the three P's we had earlier. If you're feeling pressure, panicked, or anything else that starts with a P, recognize these benefits of the right priority. First, perspective. We see through the right lens. Those of you who have a few more trips around the sun and can look back on life at what you thought was the biggest thing that would ever happen to you, the most impossible thing that you faced, and yet you're still here, and it's taken care of. And maybe you can look back now and see God's hand in that. And you begin to recognize that God is way bigger than any of the stuff that confronts us. It looks overwhelming to us. It looks like an anthill to him. Once we get the right perspective, we can begin to see our problems for what they really are. We stop looking at the giant shadow that gets cast from this itty-bitty thing, and we look at the thing itself through God's eyes, and this is nothing that he can't handle. The proper perspective, the right lens, is key. The second perspective, the second benefit, rather, is the peace. We're centered. We're unshaken. Now, I'm not saying that we retreat from the world and that's how we get peace. I'm not saying that we avoid every conflict, because you can't if you live in this world. I'm saying you have peace within that conflict. You are a person of peace. There was a phrase I was introduced to in seminary that said, be a non-anxious presence. And I remember thinking at the time, that sounds like something a PhD would say that has no experience in life. But then I met a person who was a non-anxious presence. Have you ever met one of those people? They just have this deep sense of calm. The world could be melting around them, and yet they're at peace. And if you hang around them long enough, that peace starts to wear off on you. And so you want to hang around them a little more so you can experience that kind of peace. The world rages on. The world's going to be the world. Let it be the world. But you be a person of peace. Peace that comes from above, peace that passes understanding, as Scripture says, a peace that will be centered and unshaken. That's only possible when God is your first priority, when you seek first the kingdom of God. Once you let other things in, you're unsettled. You're back to trying to weigh the faith and the balance, and you're on that scale, back and forth, tossed to and fro. Why not make this your fulcrum? Why not let God give you the peace that passes understanding? Be a person of peace. Be a non-anxious presence. The last benefit, the third P that we're going to replace, is provision. If you know that God will provide, just like Noah coming off when he had very limited resources, yet he chose to make that burnt offering, to give everything that he had to God, he had trust and confidence that God would provide more. I often wonder, do we feel the same? In this land of abundance that we live in, we rarely think about scarcity. But we sure live like we live in a world of scarcity. We sure live like God's not going to be enough to take care of us. We often wonder, are we going to scrape by this month? Maybe it's money. Maybe it's relationship. Maybe it's work. Maybe it's you fill in your own blank. But we don't serve a God of scarcity. And when we have his kingdom first and he provides everything else, we live in that provision. We live in a spirit of abundance, even in times of scarcity, because we know that God has us, just like Noah knew. It's just like giving a burnt offering when it makes no sense. It's going to take time to grow more animals. It's going to take time to grow more food. God, I don't have time to give you anything right now. But yet, Noah gives everything as a burnt offering. That's trust. That's the trust that I hope for. So how do we do this? Well, we stop talking about it as a segment in a pie chart, and we start making it a lifestyle. Now, for those of you who are astute at math, you'll recognize that my numbers are off. That's on purpose. See, a lot of times we start at number two there with the faith life, and we try to compartmentalize that. But here's the first step. Is we've got to get the filter in place. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these other things, right? That's the dome. That's the thing that we're going to let things sift through before they get to us. The next thing that we do is actually the third thing, because I know you like numbers and priorities. That's the foundation. See, we're building the top and the bottom first before we fill in the middle. It's like an Oreo cookie, all right? Got the top and the bottom, and then we're going to put the good stuff in the middle. That foundation is what keeps us from straying. It keeps us from going off-road, if you will. You know, a lot of things that we get in trouble with are of our own doing. Anybody else in this camp with me? Yeah. The biggest trouble I've ever been in was one that I caused, right? It's not God that's leading us astray. It's our own will. So if we put those two things in place and then we live our life, that's how it's going to work. And it becomes a lifestyle, not a hobby, not another thing to do. It's a lifestyle. It's faith life, life that's different. And it's made different because of the boundaries that we put around ourselves. You notice, you could also take this way and say, this is the road that I'm walking, but these are my guardrails. I have the freedom to do this within those guardrails, but those guardrails are there to protect me. They keep me walking on the path that God has laid before me. However you want to think of it, I encourage you to stop and think about, how do I make my faith a lifestyle that permeates everything that I do? And by the way, community, prayer, scripture, name any other spiritual discipline, will help us to do that. So my encouragement to you this morning, as I look at this picture and these words, it says, you know, I will put God first when, and then we have our list of excuses. Union Chapel, I'm asking you this morning to scratch out the when, to stop the sentence there, and just settle on this. Not, I will put God first when. No, I will put God first, period. If you will do that, I guarantee that we together will experience a life that is different, a life that we can't imagine, a life of abundance, a life of peace that passes understanding, a life where provision is not a problem. That's life in Christ. I will put God first, period. Will you pray with me, please? God, thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, the one who put himself last so that we could be first. Thank you for your love that provides a way back to you. Help us to burn through the overwhelm, the panic, the pressure, everything else that's coming at us from society. Help us to pause this morning and reflect, what would it look like if we were to seek you first, to put everything else aside? Form that filter right now. Guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Form that foundation, the rock upon which we stand, which we will not be shaken, we will not be moved. Why? Because you are with us. You guide us. You never lead us astray. And God, after we have done that, then help us to fill in the middle with the lives, the jobs, the tasks, the chores, all the other things, all for your glory and for your honor, as though we work for you and not for mankind. God, give us eyes to see, hands to serve, feet to carry your good news to the world, and most of all, hearts to love like you do. It's in Jesus' name I pray.